New Jersey psych rock band Garcia Peoples describes its sound as somewhere between the Velvet Underground and the Grateful Dead. The band is coming to BSP Kingston Friday, promoting the new record One Step Behind, its third full-length album since 2018. Guitarist and vocalist Danny Aryakaki explained to WAMC how the band came together and how they created the gargantuan 32-minute title track on their new album.
We all went to the same high school, and my brother's the drummer in the band, so we always played together pretty much since we started playing music, you know. This band really, we started like working on some songs around 2009 or so, but really what you're hearing on the records, that formation of the band didn't really come together till around like 2014, 2016, around then when we put our first EP out. And I went to college with Tom, so we would work on songs and we would both commute. So basically how most of the songwriting was done was me and Tom just hanging out at our parents' place in Jersey and just getting together and figuring stuff out, you know.
So tell me about the name of the band, Garcia Peoples. Obviously, it's very evocative of Jerry Garcia, the famed frontman of the Grateful Dead. Rest in peace. Is that a direct homage to Jerry?
Yeah, it is. At this point, yes. We started off as like it was a working title, you know, working band name. But as time went on, people just like didn't mind it at all, and we kind of grew to like it, and then our music. We started listening to a lot more Grateful Dead at that point, so we thought it'd be a fitting band name for us.
So with that in mind, how do you consider the music of Garcia Peoples? How do you describe it to people when you talk about the band?
Oh, man, at this point, it's like pretty much just say like psych rock with hints of, Americana. We like to think that we are somewhere between Velvet Underground and the Grateful Dead as far as like influence and where we started off.
So you've been very prolific in a very short amount of time, putting out three full-length records in the last couple of years. The first two, Cosmic Cash, and what's the second one called?
Natural Facts.
They're sort of more traditionally structured LPs, you know, with a handful of cuts on either side. Your newest one, One Step Behind, is very different. Can you describe to me the structure of the new record?
Yeah, well, that song came about, it was just like the main song part of it was written a couple years ago, and then it was fleshed out like 2 years ago, and then as we were recording it, we had ideas to add like a long intro and a long outro to it, just, you know, we weren't sure if it was going to be split up into different songs or we were just going to do what it came out to be, a 32-minute song, you know. As we were recording, we just didn't pay that any mind at that point as soon as we started recording that song. And we didn't want to, like, put too much thought into, oh, is this going to fit on this record? Because then we would just, like, psych ourselves out. So we just went for it in the studio. And a lot of the rhythmic things and stuff that happens, our influence for that kind of thing, it was very much like all this like Terry Riley sort of vibe, like cyclical sort of music and trancey stuff.
The song goes from this really ecstatic spiritual jazz sound and some really dense guitar noodling, and it bursts out into, you know, sort of a more conventional song structure before going back into some really heady jamming. When you're in the studio doing this, you know, how much is mapped out? How do you put together like a sort of behemoth like One Step Behind?
So this one in particular, like the song was like probably a 6 to 8 minute song, and then we knew we wanted to add the jamming aspect of what we do into this record, because it just seemed like the next step after having all these, you know, as you were saying, like the cuts on the A side, B side thing. We didn't want to worry about that. So this is what came out of that pretty much. One thing that we always wanted to do is work with Tom's dad, who's a great sax player and just has played with so many, like, heavy people, you know. And I guess the way that the intro and outro of this song works is based on the fact that we wanted Bob Malik, Tom's dad, to be a part of it. You know, more space, more room for people to just go as far out as you can in the studio on a record, you know.
So I'm interested in how the band sort of comes together to be able to create the kind of jamming that you do. You know, the Grateful Dead were famous for their belief in a sort of shared mind, a combination of thinking and sort of one effortless expression together. Are you guys following a similar system of trying to just play together so this becomes like second nature to you?
Yeah, definitely. And especially what happened was after the first two records and having to play them out live, you know, we added a bunch of like jams and stuff to those songs that were like ended up being 4 minute songs on the record. And while we're playing live, they would come out to like 12 minutes or something, just adding jams. So we wanted to sort of hint towards the live aspect of what we do, you know. And that's all pretty organic. It just comes, as far as the plan, it was just like a cyclical thing in the beginning and then the song part, and then the end would be like this sort of orchestrated sort of jam, like a little more tame than it would be live. But when it comes to like solos and that, it was all done like one or two takes, all the solos and stuff, and all of Bob Malik's takes on the sax were all one take. So it was as organic as we could make it in the studio without actually just going in there and just playing it like live and hitting the record button as a band, you know. We wanted to still have sort of that cleanness of the first two records, but have that aspect of live jamming involved. And we've been playing so long, that sort of thing, for the most part, comes pretty naturally to us at this point.
What the experience of playing this out is like. Are you finding there are a lot of receptive audiences out there for the kind of music that Garcia Peoples makes?
Yeah, that's a thing. Like, everyone's super positive in the scene. Every show pretty much we're playing, they're pretty receptive to all the jamming and all the parts hit like a higher peak live, and that gets people like pretty excited about it. And that's what's cool about playing this piece live. And it's pretty crazy because at first, starting off, most of it was like, how do we make these songs longer? But now it's like, how do we play this one song in 40 minutes?
I'm interested, when Garcia Peoples is on the road, what's on the stereo?
A whole bunch of different things. A bunch of our friends' records, like, or acquaintances. Like, we listen to a lot of Riley Walker, Steve Gunn, you know, everyone pretty much in the scene. And then, like, for long rides, we go into, like, this, you know, cyclical sort of things. And a bunch of stuff. There's six of us, so there's a bunch of music comes up from every genre, pretty much. We try to listen to everything and be aware of everything that's going on and everything we're influenced by. We try to keep everyone's head in it together as far as listening to stuff. Like we just made a playlist for some like Spotify thing, but a lot of it is like Jerry Garcia Band, Steely Dan, The Doors record with Jim Morrison. It's called An American Prayer. It's where he just like reads poetry and the Doors built songs around it and stuff. And then there's like classics like Glen Campbell, Merle Haggard, Bob Dylan. It's a ton of stuff. Gene Clark.
So given how prolific you guys have been in just the last few years, I'm interested, what's coming up next and what's the long-term dream for Garcia Peoples? You know, what's in the short term and where do you want to see the band in a few years?
Well, in the short term, we just booked a pretty extensive number of dates around all of US, you know, America, and our goal is to to keep hitting those places and try to hit as many cities as we can out there, build up a solid fan base and have people enjoy our music. And then we want to take it out to Europe, everywhere, as far as we can go.